Yeah, yeah. You know, we've been doing that as the season goes on. Jack has a great plan for taking care of some of the older guys, and it was just giving him a little bit of time to recuperate.
What did you see from your backup wide receivers in the second half last Sunday, and what do you expect from them this time?
They did a great job in preparation throughout the week. That's one of the things that jumped out to me. We didn't have really any mental errors from them, and they caught the ball well. You know, they did a nice job of executing all their assignments. So I was very pleased with that, and they've carried that over this week. So far in two practices, you know, in the walkthrough we had on Tuesday, they've done a nice job of picking up where they left off. So excited to see what those guys can do.
How does Jared's flexibility help you in a situation like this, with being able to use him out wide?
Yeah, it helps a lot. You know, he's been more and more comfortable as the season's gone on, moving around to different spots and understanding our route tree and things like that. So we're excited to amp him up as well.
As a play caller, as a coaching staff, when you're without Crab early, when then you become without Amari, that's not to overlook Gabe's absence. What does that do? How does that change things for you?
You know, our scheme doesn't change too much. We might change some formations so we get different players in different spots, you know, and highlight some skill sets, try to help the young guys, you know, by asking them to do things they're more comfortable with. But other than that, you know, we expect it to be a next man up type mentality. And I know you've heard that a lot from Jack and from Derek as they've spoken with you, but we truly mean it. We expect guys to be prepared and be able to step in. So we don't anticipate it drastically changing how we do things. Maybe just a little bit of tweaks in formations or personnel groupings.
How about Sunday during the game when it happens on the fly?
Yeah, that can create some challenges if you're unprepared, but those guys did a nice job filling in. They really did. So once we got a series or two under our belt and really had some confidence and comfort that they were going to be where they were supposed to be, you know, we were able to just kind of get it rolling a little bit. So.
You guys introduced a wrinkle during the first several games involving Cordero in the backfield being used as a ball carrier. That's something over the past handful you guys have kind of gotten away from. Anything behind that?
He's played a little bit more receiver in recent weeks, you know, actually lining up and getting an extended route tree in the slot and a little bit outside. So we're looking for different ways to keep him involved. Obviously, he had a huge, huge catch the other night in the game, you know, to ice the thing. So we're looking for any way we can get the ball in his hands, and he's certainly a playmaker. So we'll continue to uncover every stone we can and try to feature him where and when we can.
What areas do you see the biggest improvement for Johnny this year?
What's that?
Johnny Holt, what areas do you see the biggest
improvement? Much more natural with his catching. His hands are, you know, a lot more confident than they were last year and you know, previous practices and such. But, you know, he's really done a nice job at detailing his route running. He gets his depth. He comes out of his breaks better. He just looks more comfortable. So I think having a year to really refine his receiver skills and fundamentals has helped him and showed out.
How did you feel like you guys ran the ball? The average per carry was low, but you were able to run the ball a lot. It's
the same, right? Yeah, we started really efficient. You know, I think we really had a nice yards per carry going on early. And as you know, I've talked to you guys about, you get in game situations and that give you the ability to run the ball more. It's also going to be the same game situations that brings a harder defensive front to run against. So as we got going in the second half, you guys have been calling for more carries for Marshawn. He got some more because we were in 4 minute. But it's going to be against a loaded box, and it's going to be against a defensive mentality to take away the run. That was a really good defense we played, and they were really stout against the run. So we're not expecting to come out of a game like that with 5 yards a carry or something ridiculous. You know, we understood what we needed to get done, and we feel like we accomplished enough to win.
That was the most carries Marshawn's had in quite a while. How's he held up, and what were your impressions of the workload and how he did?
Yeah, he's done well, and you know, I think we were able to still have the change of pace mentality with the other two and give Marshawn his breathers, you know. But we wound up, I think, with well over 70 plays, which gave us a chance to sprinkle those guys in, keep Marshawn fresh, and then be able to go to him late in the game. So that seems to be a formula that worked well.
Apologize if you answered this, but your perspective on the fight, and obviously you never want to lose one of your best players that early in the game.
Yeah, I think everything we do around here, Jack preaches, you know, working for your teammates, you know, and being a dedicated teammate and working to win. And we certainly want to do the things that help us not only get on the field but stay on the field. And I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and you said once you lost him that quickly, you might have changed the entire game.
just needed to make sure that guys were able to go out and execute their assignments with the same type of timing and urgency that we would have expected had the top two receivers been in there. Again, those guys prepared very well throughout the week. Those young guys did. Rob Moore and Nick Holes did a great job with them, you know, getting them learning the game plan and all that. So it certainly was a confidence builder for us offensively to watch those guys go in and not miss a beat.
How would you characterize Robert's season? Kind of up and down, or just kind of, I mean, he's had some issues, but overall, what have you seen from Seth?
I think you could pick any player on our offensive roster or coach on our coaching staff and say we've had some variance of an up and down. So I think that's probably a fair label to put on all of us. But Seth is an extremely hard worker, and he's got great resolve and grit, and he has not missed an ounce of that throughout the season. He has tried hard. He has put forth the effort. His assignments have been pretty good, you know, from an overall standpoint. And, you know, I think that you're just seeing him start to hit his rhythm a little bit, and excited to watch him down the stretch here.
In your 2 years here, what have you seen as his strengths? What are the things he does best? What are the things you try to maximize out of him in this offense?
So he's a very tough, competitive player, gritty. He'll go in there and block. He'll stick his nose in there. He's stronger than you think. You know, he doesn't get bumped off the top of his routes very often. And he's a guy that you can depend on in clutch situations. I mean, you know, historically he's had big plays and in big times for us, you know, whether it be the third and long conversion right after the fight that kind of got us to calm down a little bit, or whether it be a game-winning touchdown a couple years ago in Tennessee. You know, he's the type of guy that you can rely on in big moments.
A couple more guys.
Oh. Or no more.
You'd love to run the ball more if you could. Are you seeing progress in that respect?
Yeah, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier. You know, you need the right game situation and the right number of plays to be able to hit some of your landmarks. You know, and for us in the Denver game, we were able to accomplish that because we were winning. You know, we produced early offensively, and we're able to get some points on the board, which allows you to stay balanced. And then, you know, we got in 4 minutes at the end of the game, and we were able to add to the carries there. So all that feeds into it. Game situation feeds into it. But I said, I think when I got the job, we want to be very balanced, you know, and that's something we're always aiming to level out.
You can make too much of it, but the fact you do very well with the lead, when you just get the lead, you're very successful. I mean, is there something to be said about that, or you just work
it out? Yeah, we always want to start fast, but there are certainly times you're going against, maybe it's a high-powered offense on the other side of the ball, or maybe it's a defense that, you know, once you get them on their heels a little bit, you can attack. You know, but that's certainly a goal of ours all the time, is to start fast. And anytime we get the ball coming out of the coin toss, we want to go score points.
As a coach, you naturally get to know players on a more personal level. You get to see what they're about just as people. How do you feel about the My Cause, My Cleats campaign, where they get to really express themselves and what they feel passionate about?
Yeah, I think it's outstanding. I think it's a really cool initiative that the league did. It gives guys a chance to highlight things that are important to them, maybe not just join a cause on a list or something. You know, and watching these guys go around and kind of have pride and take pride in the cleats that they're wearing, and, you know, Bob Romanski doing such a great job of painting them up, it's kind of a neat thing to see, you know, and it provides a window or a glimpse into these guys off the field, you know, and Derek gets to tell his story about Dallas and his surgeries, and, you know, guys are out there with breast cancer awareness cleats like EJ telling his mom's story. You know, it's neat to experience that and see them get a venue to show it off.